Broadcasting from AnyUpMagazine.com and 620 WDAE AM, the sports animal in Tampa Bay, Florida.
With your hosts, Chris Cosenza and Scott Long.
It's time to Ante Up. It's December 19th, 2008, and you're listening to the best poker podcast on the internet and in the world. Hey, I want to let you know that I had a chance to watch The Cincinnati Kid again.
The best movie, poker movie in the world.
Yeah. I thought about it. I thought, well, this time I already know what to expect, so maybe the second time around I'll appreciate it more and like it more, but you know what? The kid in that movie, he's a whore.
What?
Yeah, he was a whore. He slept with Ann Margaret.
You're picking on my man, Steve McQueen?
He slept with Ann Margaret and screwed over Tuesday Weld. Lost all his money. And
well, yeah.
He got his comeuppance, I think. I don't know.
Sounds like a pretty good life to me, though.
I couldn't get past the same things that I couldn't get past last time. You know, he's destroying the game, winning every single hand. And then in five cards, the guy makes a straight flush against a boat. And, you know, it's just a lot of stuff I couldn't get past in that movie.
You just got to enjoy it for its cinematic pleasures.
So you know what I did after that? I turned on Old School.
Yes.
Because I wanted to get excited. And,
oh, blue!
And did you know that Frank the Tank played poker?
I did not.
Apparently, Frank the Tank played poker and lost and had to run through the streets naked. When he lost the bet. So this is a pretty hilarious story. Now this happened. Where did this happen, Scott?
I believe this is in Israel.
Yeah, that's what I thought it was. And
in the southern town of Ashdod.
And when the guy loses the bet was that he had to strip down naked, run across the city into the ocean, swim around, and then come back to prove that he did it. Right.
Uh huh.
So of course, people see him running around. And he's like, Frank the Tank! Frank the Tank! people see him. They call the cops. Cops go running through the woods looking for him. They find this guy. And what does he say to the cops? I ask you to allow me to return to my friends naked, the man told the police. And, of course, they said, yeah, right, buddy, get in the car. And apparently, though, they let him off without the warning, which is kind of odd.
A prop bet is a prop bet, so you don't know how much the high stakes the card game was going for, and I don't know what the fine for public indecency in Israel is, but I can see if we would have upped the ante on the whole great race for the Hyundai there, that you guys would be pleading with the cop the same way if it meant some big bucks.
Could you imagine Faso running a lap at the end naked? Because he lost the bet? Oh, my God. His running style was funny enough. We didn't need to see anything else there. I thought this comment that the guy made, though, was this perfect poker player. You know what I mean? It was just like, you got to let me go back. I got to at least let them see that I did it so they don't make me do it again, you know? And it's just typical poker player comment there. That was hilarious, man. I couldn't believe it. So from Old School to a very old school.
That's true.
MIT, the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, it's offering poker as a major.
Yes.
What is that about?
You know, and what did you major in?
Journalism.
At the University of DeVry, Middle Connecticut Tech or something like that?
Of Italian descent.
Oh, okay. All right. I was a political journalism major, and I thought that was cool at the time, and then, it wasted 20 years of my life, but I would have loved to major in poker.
Man, I wonder what the criteria, the syllabus would be,
And when you hear, you see a little headline that says, college offering poker as major, and you click on it, you're expecting it's going to be like, I don't know, the University of Phoenix or something like that. A for-profit kind of, hey, here's a new way to get some marketing out. But no, it's MIT.
Oh, my God. I even toyed with going to MIT until I realized I was an idiot. I lived in New England. I thought about going to school there. And then God said, no, you're not smart enough.
That was my favorite part of this, is that advocates of the new curriculum cite higher attendance rates as fewer students cut these classes when compared to those of their mainstream mathematics and science. Man, I mean, that's the way to do it. That's the way to get students to go to the 9 o'clock class, is to offer them poker classes only at 8 a.m.
Oh, my God.
Because no one ever shows up for those 8 a.m. classes.
No way.
But if it's poker, I bet you get out of bed and get your butt there.
But do they expound on it, Scott? Do they let you know what exactly they might be teaching, or if it's a legitimate, like... I mean, you're going to get a degree in poker? I mean, what's it called? Poker management? What the hell is it called?
I imagine it's a Bachelor of Arts, or actually probably science if it's math and right. math and science. But here are some of the courses being offered. Gambling theory. All right, that's, a legitimate college course.
Yeah, yeah.
Bluffing and semi-bluffing. Now we've kind of got off the reservation a little bit. Psychology of the trap.
Oh, well, that's, you know.
Yeah, you know, Psych 101, right?
Psych, yeah.
Recognizing tells.
Mm.
No word yet whether Joe Navarro will be a guest lecturer. Though they did say that they are hoping to get Doyle Brunson and Phil Ivey to be guest lecturers.
Wow.
So, mastering percentages.
That's math.
You know, I took statistics for my one math course that I had to, that required in at the good old Marietta College.
Yep.
And the best thing about that is the professor, all the tests were open book.
Yeah.
And he didn't get tenure unless... After that year, so.
Figures.
You know, it's the only A I ever got math in my life. And here's my favorite one, trash talk.
Trash talk. Well, that's communications, right? That's mass communications right there. That's got everything. It's chock full of higher learning. Wow, I love that. That is the coolest thing I've ever heard. Man, I would love to go back to school now. Like Ronnie Dangerfield, you know?
And how to dress like a degenerate.
Oh, man. Fashion.
Yep.
Fashion designer. Yep. Wow. At MIT. This is, it's really shocking that MIT is doing this.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
I mean, it's groundbreaking and it's, you know, it's hip. It's trying to go with the times, I guess. But, wow, you never would suspect an institute like that to come up with something like this.
Well, yeah. And the more you read this, the more you kind of question whether it's really real. So, I mean, we'll find out. But, you know, the source on it is aintluck.com. But if nothing else, it was fun to talk about it.
And, of course, we'll have a link to the story so you can check it out for yourself and make up your own mind. Well, I'm sure a lot of these guys who played in this next game probably attended MIT because you have to have boku bucks to go to that school.
That's true. That's true. Or they came from old money.
Apparently, that's true. It was the richest men in America. Got together and played a little high-stakes poker for charity.
Yeah.
I read this story and I thought, can I sit in on this game? You know, can I get an IOU? You know, and apparently Annie Duke sat in for a little while, too. I don't know if you, did you read it thoroughly? Did you go through it all?
I skimmed it as well as I normally skim something.
Okay, so you didn't read it then.
But yeah, so these big rich guys, they got together on the Forbes family yacht.
Right.
And of course, the story is written by Forbes. So, you know, nice little plug there. And we need an Annie Up yacht so we can write stories.
And absolutely.
Invite folks
you
on.
You can be my first mate, like Gilligan.
But they played for some pretty big money, and then it all went to charity. And but I got to say, the one thing that upset me is you started to read the comments on these stories. And I've said this before, I kind of hate the internet for these anonymous comments that people can post.
Yeah.
And people were picking on how much money they're donating to charity.
Yeah.
Hey, these are the richest guys in the world, and they only gave X amount of money to charity? I'm like, come on!
Hey, man, they're
how
giving money.
How much
did
you give to charity
this
year?
That's right, exactly. And I love the comments from the story, not the comments to the story, but within the story, the guys are saying to each other, no, this way you can get more money in, you know, and pay more here, and no, you should bet now, and, you know, so they're trying to lose, you know, and that's the way it's supposed to be, you know, they're trying to lose, but, you know, Annie Duke sat in, and she didn't do anything, which is good, though, because if Annie Duke sat in and won, then she wouldn't, you know, maybe they wouldn't have donated that money, I don't know.
Yeah, but somebody called her Dookie, I like
Dookie,
that.
Dookie, yeah. Which is could be a negative thing.
Which is probably what you would call her, too, because you always like to call them other nicknames and have them go, excuse me, it's Ms. Duke to you.
Yeah, I know. Jean Robert, are you listening? Bobby.
But one of them was Phil Ruffin, who used to own the New Frontier and then got into that whole deal with Trump. And now I believe that he bought the Treasure Island.
Ooh.
Yeah. Wow. So getting back into the business.
That's cool. Well, you know what, though? I bet you that those guys probably set a record for the most money donated from a charity game, cash game, I would think. Turns out that another record wants to be broken by Poker Stars.
Exactly.
Poker Stars wants to set the record for the most players in one tournament. And They're doing. It's going to be. They're going to have a $150,000 overlay in this tournament.
Wow!
Just to attract enough people to do it. They want, what is it, 35,000 people to play in this tournament?
It will be capped at 35,000. Yes,
it's unbelievable. At last check, I think there was like 5,000 people signed up for it.
Right? And so, it's on December 28th. So yep. You know, after you get that Alexander Hamilton from Grandma, you just got to scrape up another buck somewhere, and you could be part of this hopefully record-setting performance.
Oh, it will be a record-setting performance. $150,000 overlay, and it's only $10 to play in it. It's going to break the record.
Bucks,
what is it? 11? Yeah, you know what I mean.
$10 extra price pool,
but yeah, it's going to break the record. So, what do you think about something like this, Scott? Do you think that it's just publicity, or do you think it's, you know, I mean, do you think they're going to get $150,000 worth of publicity from this? I mean, I don't think, you know, our show alone isn't going to carry the overlay. Well, but
that'll be about $80,000 of the publicity.
But you know what? I like Poker Stars because they do stuff like this. They try to, you know, they do different things. They try to make it exciting. Imagine saying, you know, to your friends, I played in the largest poker tournament in the history of mankind.
Exactly.
I mean, and for $10, $11, sorry. But really, for $11, you can say, I'm in the Guinness Book of World Records, sort of, because I've played in the largest poker tournament of all time. That's the coolest thing ever. And they do it right. They're smart.
And it will be 10-minute turbo-style increases, because that's the first thing I thought of. When you get 3,500 tables, 35,000 people, I'm trying to figure out whether I need to tell the wife, hey, I'll see you in March.
What do you think? You think that a lot of people are just going to be happy to be participating and not really take it that seriously until...
Well, I think it'd be worth watching just to see how quickly it goes down. I mean, you watch some of those free rolls with like 2,500 people, which is a fraction of this.
Yeah.
You know, half that field's gone like in 20 minutes. There's all kinds of double ups. I mean, there's probably going to be some guy, you know, at the chip leader's going to have probably like $6 gazillion.
Yep.
Like an hour into this thing.
Yep.
And of course, so he won't cash.
It's going to be remarkable. It's going to be like the mouse and the screen are going to be just burning on my desktop, because I'm going to play in this thing, I think.
All right. Yeah, very good.
I think I'm going to play in it. So
we'll all right, see. I'll see if I can. It's my brother's birthday, so I'll have to get the phone call out of the way early so I can register to be part of it.
Well, let's stick with online news. Did you hear what Full Tilt's doing?
I've heard a lot of things of Full Tilt doing, but tell me exactly what you're doing.
Did you hear what they're doing with domains?
I did not hear that.
Apparently, Full Tilt is buying up domain names that are very similar to their rivals. For instance, AnsolutePoker.com instead of Absolute, because the N and the B are really close to each other. They even bought AdamLevyPoker.com, who is a representative for Ultimate Bet now, and he's from Orlando, goes by the avatar Ruthless. I'm sure that he's not very happy about that. What do you think about this, Scott? Do you think it's underhanded, or do you think it's
I think it's smart business because of the way cyber squatters are on these URLs and stuff. Mm-hmm. And certainly, anytime you've mistyped something in your Firefox yourself, and you see in some kind of the unfortunate places you end up, I would rather when I mistype Anslute go to Absolute, because that's what I'm looking for. But you know, if I end up at Full Tilt instead, that's a lot better than some of the scary things that I've seen on my screen when I've mistyped.
Rumor has it that they
I bookmarked.
They also bought CantyUpMagazine.com and DantyUpMagazine.com and XantyUpMagazine.com.
Oh, excellent. Very good.
So, if you guys are, sneezing and typing at the same time, you may end up at Full Tilt when you're looking for our magazine. So make sure you bookmark our site. But I'm with you. I think it's a good business move. I think that there are so many things that you can do, only so many things, I should say, that you can do, you know, to get people to come to your site. And after a while, you need to think of creative ways, and that's one of them. You know, somebody mistypes it and it's like, hey, how'd I end up at Full Tilt? I wonder if people are going to be like, wow, I typed in Absolute Poker and I'm on Full Tilt. Maybe Full Tilt bought Absolute. Oh, well, I guess I'll register here.
No, but you know how lemmings are on the internet.
True.
You type something in, and then don't really necessarily care where you go.
That's how we got half our audience. The lemmings from the sea wandered and found Annie up somehow, and that's how we got half people listening to us, because obviously we didn't do any publicity.
Yeah, that's right.
All right, well, I hear the Donkey Gear hotline ringing. Before we answer it, though, I want to remind everyone the phone number for our hotline, 813-448-1120, and if you call that line, we're going to send you some cool stuff from Donkey Gear. Scott, what's the shirt today?
This week's shirt is who needs pocket, and there's a picture of aces.
Okay, who needs pocket aces?
When you have donkey, and there's a little picture of acorns.
Acorn nuts?
Yeah, we're assuming it means nuts, yes.
So it's who needs pocket aces when you have donkey nuts?
Exactly.
Okay, that's
another
really
clever
cool
one from the good folks at donkeygear.net. And they also offer all kinds of other poker geared towards those who like to be a donkey, particularly people who can't even talk about it.
You're a donkey on the mic. That's what it is. Donkey on the mic. Scott Long.
Geared towards those who like to be the donkey or those trying to call out the donkey, but it's more than just funny t-shirts. Chris, there are hats, poker chips, tables, dealer buttons, cards, books, poker tables, and lots of other accessories. Lots of stuff on donkeygear.net.
I think we're going to have to edit this script to take out tables and poker tables twice, because you read it twice every week.
It's a big high-profit item for them, I'm sure.
All right, so it's doubly important. So check it out at www.donkeygear.net. And, of course, you can just go to donkeygear.net. But let's, and it's no surprise that you picked this clip today. Let's listen to it now.
Hey, this is Doug. I'm a longtime listener, and I was just commenting about Chris talking about tips. Chris talking about tips is like Phil Hume is talking about being, polite at the table after taking a beat. And,
if you're going to call in and be a wise ass,
and we highly encourage that, by the way.
The least you can do is complete your thought. I can just tell what happened to him. He looked back at his phone and tried to read his scripted little joke, and somehow he hung up on us. And, yeah, Doug, I know. Yeah, I don't tip that often. But you know what? The truth is, though, is that I don't really order things very often either. And when I'm in a restaurant or whatever, I tip significantly, more than 20% sometimes, and that's huge. So because
that
I used to be a waiter.
Yeah,
I used to be a waiter, and I know what it's like to have to sit there and pick up people who have pickup tables and plates that have chewed fat on them. And, so I respect that industry, and I always tip well. Yeah, but
you don't respect the poor ladies that have to walk around the card room with their high heels
with
and
their dead friends
outfits.
Dying the night before. And I know.
We've
heard it all.
No compassion.
We've heard it all. But, yeah. And like I said, there was a perfectly good example, or not example, but reason why I didn't tip that lady that time.
I've tipped every waitress since. Well, I think you need to tip everyone twice since then, because you don't know whether they had to pick up half-chewed and fat in their last career.
All right, fine. Well, I'll tell you what. Let's complete our one-minute mystery this week.
Greetings. This is Columbo from PokerWannabe.blogspot.com, and this is another one-minute mystery. The case of the local playground. This week, we're playing in a local charity card room.
My wife always says, when people have money in their pockets, they're tempted to spend it.
Now, these are usually low-stakes games frequented by amateurs and action junkies, and we've just started a cash rotation game of No Limit Hold'em and Omaha 5-10, and it's obvious right from the start that Omaha is going to be very profitable for us. I'm quickly up about $50, so I have everybody at the table covered. And now a hand in the no-limit hold'em round intrigues me.
Lucky for me, I brought a cigar.
We are short-handed, and I check my big blind option with Jack-8 off. Three players see a flop of Jack-8-9 rainbow. I check my two pair, expecting the kid in the peach shirt to bet. He checks behind. The turn is an ace, which is also a second spade, and suddenly he looks interested. I bet 10 out into the pot, he min-raises to 20, and after some thinking, I raise to 50, but he snap calls. Needless to say, we lost our interloper.
People in a stressful situation are prone to making quick decisions.
The river is a 3, not completing a flush draw. Action is to me. Bet?
Okay, so the min-raise raises an eyebrow, pardon the pun. You have to wonder what this guy has here.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Does he really have aces there? Does he have a draw? It's tough to say. So let's just listen to part two and see what happens.
Welcome back. It seems like a good time to go for someone's entire stack. Even recalling this, I get the sense that he has a hand like ace-10. But now the min-raise and the snap call have got me second thinking that the amateur has given too much away.
Does it sound like we are missing something?
Here's a situation where betting seems like the right move, but we may have fallen victim to the turn. The pot's 110 and the biggest pot of the night so far, although it's early. So let's think about his actions here. He doesn't raise preflop with an ace, and we are shorthanded. So we know he's a mistake-prone player. When an ace hits, he min-raises, but then snap calls a re-raise. Can I say he just has top pair, and he just got tricky with ace-king? Do I have him worried with my re-raise, hopefully?
At first, I had nothing to go on.
On the other hand, could he have queen-ten and think the aces gives him license to stack me? Well, okay, I don't think that's true. He would have went for the stack on the turn when the action was heavy. No, he's worried about queen-ten. And that has to be aces or aces up. Not ace-ten, but possibly ace-jack, ace-nine, ace-eight. Most likely ace-nine. I'm going to check here and look to make a crying call. But he's so worried about my re-raise and not having the nuts that he checks behind, afraid of the potential straight, and tables ace-nine and rakes the pot.
Oh, this night is far from over.
Until next time, this is Columbo from PokerWannabe.blogspot.com reminding you that sometimes the best result is a small loss in preparation of a big night of profit.
I guess we got our answer. Not exactly a weak ace in that situation, but not exactly a strong play by this guy either. And, exactly. I like Columbo's point about, all right, so you lose a small pot to this guy, but he's playing so bad that you're going to reap the rewards of playing against him later. So,
and I think that's a big thing. I mean, I've started trying some new no-limit strategies, and one of them is really, I'm really working on pot control and trying to keep the pot down. So, you know, when my big hands get cracked or I'm not losing a lot of money, and then, you know, it still hurts.
Yeah.
But, you know, at least it hurts a lot less when you look at your stack and there's more there than you would have had you played it otherwise. So,
become a well-rounded rounder. Register today for the Any Up Horse Course coming to Sarasota Kennel Club on Saturday, January 31st. For just $249, get winning strategies for Raz, Omaha 8, Stud, and Stud 8, plus an $85 tournament voucher, lunch, a gift bag, and much, much more. Register today at AnnieUpMagazine.com and we'll teach you how to win in Sarasota.
The new and improved Annie Up store is now open, just in time for all those holiday wish lists. With markups just 10% above Cafe Press's base prices, stock up today on Annie Up shirts, hats, gifts, and more, and all of Annie Up's logos. Go to AnnieUpMagazine.com, click on Shop tab, and order today. Send us a photo of you wearing the Annie Up colors, and you just might find yourself in Annie Up Magazine. Chris, one of the things that I haven't seen a lot of in poker magazines is health columns. You know, we joke about whether poker is a sport or not, but when it comes down to it, a lot of us are big fat slobs at the table, aren't we?
Yeah, and today's guest, actually, last time I saw him in a home game, came up to me and said, "Are you gaining some weight, Chris?" And I said, "What are you, a chick?" So, yeah, I think that this man here is he's qualified to know whether or not you're being healthy at the poker table or not.
That's right. That's right. So our guest today is Dr. Frank Toscano. He's an Annie Up National and
fellow Paisan.
Exactly. Exactly. Lives here in the Tampa Bay area, and for the last couple months has written a great health column for Annie Up Magazine called Healthy Bet. Frank, how you doing?
I'm doing great, guys. Thanks for having me here.
I got to tell you, Frank, your columns have been spot on, man. I think that they hit a home run every time you write them. It's been a pleasure editing them and designing them and just learning from them.
Well, thanks. I appreciate that. It's a lot of fun writing them.
All right. So, Frank, let our listeners know that you're not a quack here. Give a little background here and that you're not one of those 4 out of 5 doctors on the chewing gum commercial.
Well, I graduated from Duke in 1970.
Oh, wait a minute. What? You graduated from Duke?
Yeah,
get out.
You know,
That's it. End of interview. All right, so when did you graduate? 73? Oh, my God. I was 3 years old. I hadn't even entered school yet.
It was long before Vanessa Russo, my friends. Anyway, I did advanced training in emergency medicine, and I've been actively working in ERs for the last 28 years. And I was even a medical director for a local ER that's pretty busy. Yeah. ER here in Clearwater, Florida.
Can you help us get Noah Wiley on the show?
No chance of that.
Oh, okay. All right. And you're doing something else exciting now, too, as well, right?
Well, I'm running a medical spa now. We have a wonderful, very elegant medical spa. And for you local poker players, it's located about halfway between Tampa Bay Downs and Derby Lane. It's called Red Bamboo Medi Spa. For you guys who don't get enough playing time, check our website and buy your loved one a gift card from Red Bamboo Medi Spa, and they'll appreciate it so much, you'll be able to play more. It's about the cost of a Florida buy-in for a 1-2 table.
So not to get too far away from poker, Frank, but when you're at the spa, is the most common noise you hear... I mean, because I know you got that smart lipo going on there.
We
so.
Do. We've been doing a lot of smart lipo. There's a lot of that sucking sound, but we usually play a lot of music, crank up the tunes, a little reggae or some Motown, so that covers up that sucking sound. Mainly the sucking sound we hear is the money being sucked out of the wallet.
Oh, there we go.
All right, so tell us a little about how you got into poker, because now you've got this perfect marriage of medical and poker in your columns. How did you get involved in poker, and what's your experience been?
Well, my family used to play a little bit after holiday meals just for pennies, but when I was in college, my fraternity brothers used to play an all-night game at least once a week. We commonly played a lot of high-low split games, which makes me wonder why I don't do better at those games against you guys, since I have a lot of experience in them. We used to play them with no qualifier and a declare, which is kind of odd.
Yeah.
But anyway, then I moved to San Francisco, and I learned to count cards in blackjack. And I would travel to Reno and Tahoe and play blackjack, but I found the money was a lot easier at the poker tables, especially among the ski bums.
Wow.
So then I moved to Florida, and I'd play in various home games, and then discovered your podcast, and I've been playing in your home game ever since.
How long have you lived here in Florida?
Oh, since 85.
So let me ask you, is it true that the locals in San Francisco hate it when people say Frisco?
Oh, absolutely. Never call it Frisco. That's how you immediately identify someone who's from out of town.
Well, there you go.
All right, let's get a little health knowledge here for our poker listeners. I think we're going to start. Your first column was a very good one called about deep venous thrombosis. Did I get that right?
Venous. But
Venous?
Close enough.
Venous is the name.
Well, why do they spell it with an O then? Why can't they just spell it like Bananarama's?
It's actually a reasonable concern, because if you're sitting at a poker table for hours at a time with your legs hanging below you, the blood tends to sludge in your legs. And whenever blood sludges, it does what blood likes to do, which is clot. And if one of those clots breaks off and travels to your lungs, it can cause a real health problem.
God, maybe I shouldn't be drinking this red fruit punch Powerade right now while we're talking about this.
Well, that has nothing to do with it, but the main thing is that it's easily preventable. And so what I recommend in the column and to your listeners is that frequently they should stretch their legs, to straighten out their knees, to point the toes, to cock the heels up, and get that blood pushed out of the veins so that it doesn't sludge. And a good point of reference would be to do it every time the button passes you, so about every 15 or 20 minutes to get up and stretch. There's a couple other things you can do to prevent it. You can get up and do a few deep knee bends every break you have on the tournaments. Another thing you can do, particularly if your legs tend to swell a little bit, is to wear support hose.
You wear those, right?
I do. You know what? They look just like regular socks. They just have a little extra elastic in them. You can get them online at multiple places. But one of the key things...
Or from Vicki Lawrence when Mama's Family, right?
I mean, you're really dating yourself there, buddy.
Well, you're not kidding. One of the key things, though, is it's easily preventable with an aspirin. And not even an adult aspirin. You can take a baby aspirin, and that makes all the platelets kind of slippery and really is a great prevention for DVT. And that's something you can use not only at the poker table, but if you're flying out to Las Vegas for that WSOP tournament, or if you're sitting at one of those day-long poker camps like you guys are going to have coming up pretty soon, I think.
Yep.
Take an aspirin, and that'll thin out the blood a little bit and prevent those clots. I would give you a warning, though. If you have a history of bleeding ulcers, or if you're on some other anticoagulants from your doctor, like Plavix or Coumadin, you might want to check with your doctor before taking any aspirin.
Now, if I could also, you said to contract your leg muscles a little bit, so would you recommend kicking that donkey in seat two when he calls your bet with a bad hand?
Well, what I mainly recommend for you, Scotty, is not to play footsie with the dealer.
Ah, okay. All right. Very good.
And he has been known to do that, by the way. You know what I like most about your columns, though, is what you just pointed on there, was how you relate it to situations at the table, or even, you know, like you said, when you're flying out for, you know, a long flight to Vegas to go play in the World Series, you know, sitting for a long time in the plane as well can give you the same exact reaction. So that's some of the stuff that I really enjoy when I'm reading it, is just how it relates to me or our readers as a poker player.
Well, I appreciate that. I'm trying to relate it to the readers and the listeners. So it's coming along pretty well. I'm pretty happy with the way the column's been going.
Excellent. Well, I just realized that I did not go to the little Doyle's room before we started this interview. So we'll speed it up a little bit. But can you tell us about bladder control?
Well, you know, that's really not a big problem in a ring game when you can stand up and go visit little Doyle's room anytime you want. But if you're in a tournament and you find that the blinds start getting higher and higher and their breaks are far apart, you can really have a problem with a bladder too full. So one of my columns I did, I discussed bladder control at the table. What you don't want to do is just let it sit there and get your bladder larger and larger and larger, because it stretches out the muscles. Maybe you won't empty it quite as well, and it can lead to infection. I think one of my most important pieces of advice is not to overhydrate. I don't know how many times I hear this medical advice that you should drink 8 glasses of water a day. You know what? That's not in the medical literature. There's nowhere that it says that's a good thing for you to do. And if anyone, you know, has a medical paper, a reasonable research paper that says that, please send it to me so I can look at it. But
is there any medical studies on drinking 8 beers a day being good for you?
Well, beers are going to probably be even worse because it's a diuretic and it makes you want to pee.
I can't catch a break.
You can't.
Especially a pass blue ribbon. That goes right through you.
But keep in mind that you're not playing you're not playing golf in the desert. You're playing poker in an air-conditioned room. And there's no need to overhydrate here. But you should avoid things that are diuretics, which make you want to go, like coffee and caffeine, colas, and especially your favorite drink, Scott. You might want to also avoid acidic foods like tomatoes and citrus that can irritate the bladder.
Wow, so Bud Light Lime would be really bad.
That would be your worst choice.
And I think you even in the article that you wrote, you mentioned chocolate as a diuretic. That really blew my mind, that if I eat chocolate, it'll fill my bladder too.
Well, it's not that it fills your bladder so much. It's got theophylline in it, which does cause you to want to go.
Oh, okay. Man, that is some pretty scary stuff. If you're not a medical person, you don't really know what you're eating is going to, you know, fill your bladder or make you want to go. And it's.
But I have an answer for you, Scott.
Oh, excellent.
So
very good.
You can drink all the beer you want at the table.
All
and
right.
Ironically enough, it's called a Texas catheter.
Wow. Sounds pretty official.
It is. And the way it's perfectly named for the game. And the way the Texas catheter works is it's like a condom, but it's got a long tube at the end that empties into a leg bag.
Does it come in extra small?
Well,
that's the only way he can use it.
You bring out a very good point, and one of the problems with the Texas catheter is getting the right fit.
There you go.
You can imagine the problems that Scott might have with an average-sized Texas catheter. It could easily pop off.
Well, we'll just give him one of those bendy straws.
Well, yeah, that's not a bad idea. I wouldn't recommend super glue, though.
All right, so a catheter, but you're not recommending Depends yet, are you? Except
it depends. Now, it may seem extreme, but if you're at a final table and you have bladder control issues, you got to realize if you look at the World Series of Poker, the main event, they got people there playing with no arms, they got people there who are blind that are playing poker. I guarantee you, in a field of 6,000 people, there must be dozens with bladder control problems, probably wearing catheters.
Wow.
So what I recommend is put on that Texas catheter, cut down on your water intake, and buy everybody at the table a round of drinks and watch them squirm.
All right, well, you've also written a column about insomnia, but the one I want to get to now is you have a nice two-part article coming up. Part one will run in February about performance-enhancing drugs, and I've already read this piece, and it's fascinating, and I can't wait to see where you're going with it. Why don't you give us a little bit about poker, you know, and how it relates to these situations?
Well, this all came about, Chris, because I was playing at Silks at the Tampa Bay Downs, and I was a little fatigued after playing for a few hours and maybe even a little bored, and I saw an obvious tell out of the corner of my eye that I thought indicated great strength, but it just didn't register on me, and it caused me to lose a good chunk of my stack, and it made me wonder if there were some ways that I could keep more concentrated at the table, that I could be more aware of what was going on. So I started doing a little bit of research in it. And, you know, there's some obvious candidates like, you know, speed and coke, but those come at very great risks. Those drugs are stimulators of the sympathetic nervous system. And what that means is that besides keeping you awake and alert, it also increases your heart rate and increases your blood pressure at the same time as it constricts the same blood vessels that supply blood to your heart. So there's a great health risk at taking these drugs, not to mention that they're illegal and addicting. So I looked further, and there are commonly used drugs for attention deficit disorder called Adderall and Ritalin. And in fact, some very famous poker players have used these drugs. But let me just make sure that the listeners understand clearly that Adderall and Ritalin are nothing more than speed. They're just nice, clean speed that you buy from somebody with good teeth. They have the same risk profile. They have the same addiction potential. But some poker players use them, and for legitimate reasons, for ADHD. For example, Mike Matisau and Paul Phillips have both admitted to using Adderall while playing poker.
But that was prescribed, right?
Prescribed
Adderall. Yeah, Adderall.
Okay. And as you notice, I don't know if you noticed, but if you saw Mike Matisau at this year's World Series, he's slimmed down. He lost 60 pounds. He's got great focus. He's not having those blow-ups. He's not donking off chips. And he won a bracelet in deuce to seven low ball.
Right.
So it's had a great effect on his life. But what I really found is interesting is that there's a new drug out called Provigil, which sort of sounds like vigilant professional. But this Provigil is a drug that was originally developed for narcolepsy, which is people that have sort of seizure-like passing out spells during the day. But they also have recommended it for people with something called shift work sleep disorder. And that's defined as someone who works unusual hours and has to stay awake and alert at night while they're working. And it was initially used by Air Force pilots. And I've got to tell you, it's commonly used by people in my profession, medical residents who are in training,
right,
who have to stay up all night and take care of patients, and even ER doctors use them. It's frequently used by my own colleagues. It's not cheap. It's about $10 a pill, but
man,
it seems like the perfect drug for a poker professional who starts their work day at 4 or 5 in the afternoon, works till 4 in the morning, and has to be alert.
Now, is this a prescription drug, Brian?
It is. It's prescription. And it's very much like speed, but it has minimal effects on heart rate and blood pressure, and of course, no jail time. Nice. But it's got a different and unknown mechanism of action. In studies, they've blocked the receptor sites that respond to speed, and Provigil still seems to work. However, it does have some characteristics like speed. They've taken rats that are addicted to speed, and they tend to become quickly addicted to Provigil, which leads you to the conclusion that you should not play poker with rats. Dogs, okay.
Or rat holders.
That's right.
Dogs playing poker is okay. And I want to read to you a quote from Paul Phillips' blog. You know, Paul Phillips won $2.3 million in 2004 and 2005. And here's what he said on his blog. I'm going to quote now. With Adderall in my system, I am like an information sponge, able to process data from several players at once while considering my next action. It also improved my patience. He then said, this year, I have a new chemical weapon, Provigil. It stimulates wakefulness and enhances focus, but without the annoying side effects of an amphetamine. Drugs are not a substitute for healthy living habits, but the WSOP isn't a spa. With Provigil, I feel well-rested even on limited sleep. I can operate at my full potential for days on end.
So let me ask you a question about this now. You know how they talk about in baseball and football, steroids and enhancing drugs, things like that. Do you feel like this could be something that could be banned from, believe it or not, from poker and things like that? Because, I mean, I guess if it's prescribed, that's one thing. But, you know, they're starting to come out with all these new drugs, these new age drugs or whatever. What do you think about that? Do you think that this is something that's fair to other players?
Well, I'm glad you asked that question. And what I'd like to do is pose it to your listeners and your magazine readers to comment on, because there's some significant pros and cons to the exact point that you brought up. Let me just list some of them for you. The arguments against banning drugs at tournaments. Of course, you can't do it at ring games, because that's something that people do privately. But on a tournament anyway, the reasons not to have it is, one is that, you know, poker's always been a game of booze, drugs, and hard living. You know, leave it alone. And it also opens up sort of an enormous can of worms. Do you
sure.
really want to make a bracelet winner pee in a cup?
Exactly.
And what if he fails the drug test and decides to sue? And then what if a pro that uses poker-enhancing drugs because of a psychiatric illness, like ADHD or ADD, what if you tell him he has to stop taking his drugs prior to a tournament? He might even claim discrimination based on the Americans with Disabilities Act.
Wow.
But then let's talk about the points in favor of banning performance-enhancing drugs. You know, most major sports ban performance-enhancing drugs. you can get banned from the Olympics for the amount of caffeine in 5 cups of coffee or 3 Red Bulls.
Jeez.
Wow, now, you combine the two, too. Wow.
Yeah. And can poker be considered to be a legitimate, you know, serious international competition and ignore performance-enhancing drugs?
Yeah, good point.
Pros can now literally use bottles of Provigil for card guards and take them in front of you and take the drugs openly. Now, if you were at a final table and you saw several other people were using these drugs, would you feel a pressure to take them? Now, I'm not going to come down one way or another on this. I thought I would be the reservoir of information and fact-checking for your listeners. But I think it opens up a good point.
You're the drug czar from Switzerland.
let me give you a disclaimer now. I own no stock in the company that makes Provigil. It's called Cephalon. And they've never so much as even bought me a pizza.
Oh, man. I can imagine what the toppings would be on that thing.
Yeah, but I would like to put this out just in case there's a Cephalon drug rep or marketer out there. If they would like me to conduct a completely unbiased and scientific test on Provigil, I'd be willing to take their drug and play in a major tournament. I would then be willing to report back to the Antiup Nation about my results and my experiences as long as Cephalon pays for the buy-in, the transportation, and the logging. I'm thinking Aruba. But, you know, with this bad economy, I'd probably accept Biloxi.
And, of course, you know, it's ideally to have them be on the show and advertise and try to sell as many drugs as possible on our show.
What a great place for them to advertise. Antiup Magazine.
Give us an idea of some other topics that are noodling on your head and so that people will know the next time you're going to be on the show and what they might hear, and also to keep them interested in reading magazine.
I know this one's going to hurt you, Scott, but I was thinking about talking about prostatitis.
Oh.
And I won't describe exactly.
Is that fake arms?
I won't exactly describe where it is.
Definitely not in your case.
I'll save that for the column, but we won't have any illustrations.
Oh, okay. Very good.
Well, Frank, thanks for joining us today. Thanks for coming all the way down to the radio station, and we look forward to playing against you in the home game, of course.
Oh, it was my pleasure, guys. It was a lot of fun.
It's not just a dealer button. It's more than a tournament timer. It's Pro Dealer Button, and it's a synchronized poker game management system. The buttons talk to each other, so every table in your home game is on the same page at all times. Pre-order yours today at ProDealerButtons.com. Use the code ANTIUP05 and save 5% on your order.
Did you miss a link on your favorite poker podcast? Or want a preview of the upcoming Antiup Magazine? Go to antiupmagazine.com and subscribe to Antiup's e-newsletter for free. Just click on the subscribe button, and while you're there, subscribe to Antiup Magazine. Just $25 gets you 12 issues of your favorite poker magazine delivered straight to your door. Subscribe today and win tomorrow.
This is Jennifer Harmon at Full Tilt Poker, and I listen to Antiup.
Today's Hand of the Week, as always, is brought to you by the good folks at GreatPokerHands.com and their great Texas Hold'em strategy cards. Correct the single biggest mistake made by Texas Hold'em players. You can order today at GreatPokerHands.com. Use that code ANTE, A-N-T-E, and you get 20% off your order. Just in time for Christmas.
Yes, perfect timing.
Or Kwanzaa. Yeah, for sure. Even more time for Kwanzaa, right?
And any holiday, really, is the perfect time for these cards.
Martin Luther King Day, just around the block. So, you know...
Yep, President's Day.
Exactly.
Anything. You know,
exactly.
New Year's. Just give somebody, you know, give her a peck on the cheek when the ball comes down and then hand her the cards.
Valentine's Day. It's a lot better than Azale's necklace.
Let's move on to Hand of the Week, Scott.
All right, this week's hand comes from Chris in Toledo.
Now, we don't know. Is Chris a man or a woman? We'll have to find out later, I guess.
We do not know, but
don't know.
I'm sure he or she is a very fine human being.
I'll refer to Chris as Chris throughout the hand.
And we're also quite confident that Chris, he or she, is a Ohio State fan and not a Michigan fan. Because he lives in the actual state of Ohio.
All right, we'll
therefore, he cannot be a Michigan fan.
Well, I mean, you live in the Ohio States and you root for the Green Bay Packers.
That's different.
In Wisconsin.
That's completely different.
All right, so college is different than pros.
Have you seen the fathead commercials? Yeah,
yes, I see it. I see them.
All right, so here we go. Chris is a longtime listener, first-time writer, this is a second-time writer. Another hand came in before, but this one is a little more interesting, I think. All right, they're in a live bi-weekly sit-and-go with 10 people total. All right, they're down to 8 people left. Blinds are 10 and 20. The last player just got knocked out, and so he folded his hand, and he had to run to the restroom, Chris.
Okay.
We'll just assume it's a he now. We'll go back and forth.
All right.
He and she, right?
Whatever you feel like saying at the moment.
Exactly. Now, of course, sadly, had they heard the main topic before then, probably would have cut back on those
drinks.
Coffees and beers and stuff, and therefore wouldn't have had to run to the restroom, because it plays a pivotal point in this hand.
Okay.
All right. So he runs back, just about to muck the cards, all right? Takes a quick look at the table. There was one limper, and it was folded around to the small blind who called. He gets back just in time to look at his big blind without being folded.
Okay.
I hope he washed his hands.
Gross.
All right, the limper is a very bad, predictable player. He never bets bet sizes properly, and he can be read like a book. Sounds like you, Chris.
Just like me. Absolutely.
The small blind is a loose, aggressive player. He's been usually playing rather tight for his style tonight, but I believe he still isn't afraid to bet and take down a pot.
So we have both ends of the spectrum here.
Exactly. This last guy will usually three barrel with an ace high and no pair. Kind of like that, Moxie.
Wow.
All right. So our hero's back. Hands are still dripping wet from washing him. And looks down at King of Diamonds, Five of Diamonds.
Okay. And we could just wrap the table here, right?
Exactly.
Let's do that.
And our hero says that's what he almost or she almost always does in this spot. And that's exactly what happens.
Okay, we wrap the table. We got two players in the hand with us, and we have a suited king. Terrible kicker.
Exactly. The king five suited, according to the great pokerhands.com cards, is a dubious hand.
Yeah,
number 55.
It's definitely dubious, but since we can check and I don't have to do anything.
Big blind. Not going to fold.
Not going to fold. We're going to check.
All right.
It's definitely dubious, though.
Definitely dubious. Flop is king of hearts, seven of spades, four of diamonds.
Well, we like this because... two reasons. One, we have top pair, backdoor straight draw, backdoor flush draw. So we have a lot of possibilities. The blinds are still pretty small. And we've got a loose guy to our right, so we can react to whatever he does,
exactly.
Which is very good. We have a tight player on our left, which is very good. So we're happy. What does the loose player do?
Not a bad situation to be in.
No, right now we're happy with it. We'll see what happens later.
All right, well, it gets interesting already. The limper checks. Now, of course, if you remember the flow of the action here, it's not the limper's turn, Chris.
Right, exactly. I was thinking the same thing. I'm like, what? Say what?
Now, remember, this player isn't very good, and so our hero says he's confused by the new dealer at the table and sitting to the left of the dealer, but the button was, you know, that. We've all fallen for that when we began.
Yeah. You can't fault the guy. I mean, people check out a turn all the time.
Exactly. So now we know that this guy...
Probably weak,
right?
Uh-huh.
All right, so now the real action begins, the hero said. The small blind leads $20 or 20 units into the spot.
Which is nothing. That's a minimum bet. It's 10, 20 blinds, so that's the least you could bet into a $60 pot or a 60-unit pot.
Exactly.
So, that doesn't tell us much.
All right, so our hero is, you know, moving the head back and forth, looking and figuring that the limper is weak, as we thought, all right?
Right.
And he's thinking that the small blind's making a play at this pot.
Yeah, I would probably agree with that, just because he knows that you're in the blind, so you could have any random hand, and he knows the other person's pretty tight, so he'll get his information for $20. But it's not enough here. I would pop it.
All right. And you're going to pop it how much?
Probably 75.
Okay.
You know, about three times what he has. I mean, it's 80 in the pot, so I'd probably bet around 70, 75 maybe. Try to, because then you know that, like he said, you can read the other player like a book. So if the other player calls now after checking, he's got a bigger hand than you think.
Exactly.
So that's what I would do. Get my information for $75. It's worth it to me. So that's what I would do.
And I like when they get these kind of flops against aggressive players, because they could be betting with almost anything here.
Yeah.
And not that this is a super strong hand, obviously, you know, king with a weak kicker and some backdoor draws, but at least I've got probably a best hand right now.
You probably have the best hand. This guy could be betting out with anything. He could be betting out with 7-8 here at 2-7s, you know, who knows?
All right, so our hero min raises.
Oh, well.
You're keeping the pot small, but...
I don't agree with the min raise, because the guy could be easily betting a draw.
Yeah, exactly, because here, as much as I don't mind the min raise sometimes, but here, against that type of player, you don't get any information at all, and you're just throwing money at the pot.
Yeah.
Because you know he's going
to
call.
Yeah, there's no reason to fold, and you're giving him the perfect price to draw now, so no. You got to make it expensive. You got to make it enough for this person to really think about it, or to make a mistake by calling, so... Not a big enough bet, my friend.
Okay. All right. Well, here it gets more surprising.
Of course.
The limper, the limper / bad player / out of turn checker calls the 40, Chris.
Yeah, it wasn't enough.
Yeah.
It wasn't enough. I don't know what He says you can read this player like a book, but, I mean, I don't know what to put him on here. If he limped early position, you know, unless he has... No, because if he limped, I don't even know what that means. What does a limp mean to a person you can read like a book?
Exactly.
You know, a suited ace, maybe? You know, a small suited ace or a small pair? Why? And maybe he's playing a set, you know, the way a lot of amateurs play sets where they check and hope to raise or, you know, build a pot. So, could have pocket fours or sevens, but that's just my first guess.
And one more surprising part of the story, Chris.
Uh-huh.
The small blind folds.
Oh, my God. So, the guy who bet 20 now folds to a $40
Folds to a min bet.
So, min bet of 20 more. Wow, that's really weird.
Now, of course, if you're a loose aggressive player and you're just trying to make a play, I mean, obviously you didn't make enough to actually make a play at this pot. But right. Now you've got a razor behind you, and then you've got a player that I assume that he also thinks he can read well calling.
Yeah, and if that person's really tight, he knows to get out.
Exactly. So I mean, even for one more bet, you know, unless he had a lot going for him in his hand, it's probably worth getting out of the way.
So there's another 100 in the pot now. So there's about 160 in there now.
And the turn brings the queen of diamonds.
Oh, that's good. Now I get the second nut flush draw on top of our top pair.
Exactly.
And our hand improved because the queen is bigger than our kicker.
Right. That helps.
Hmm.
This is an interesting part, isn't it? Because now you've got a player that you think you can read that just smooth called after checking.
Yep.
Your hand gets a little bit better here, but you're out of position.
I just can't figure out what this person has to check call like that if they're predictable. If they're predictable, it sounds like a small set. I'm probably way off on this. They probably have like ace king and didn't know what they were doing. But, you know, when I'm told that a player is predictable, you know, they generally, if they're going to limp into a pot, they generally have a suited ace rag, or they have a pair that's small and they're hoping to flop a set. That's usually what the predictable player would do in that situation. So I'm only going on what Chris says. So what does the, because that player has to act after us, right?
Right, yeah. So we're first to act now.
So I don't know what I would do here. I might check here just to disguise my have the kings and see what he does. But if I had to bet, I'd bet about 50 or 60.
Okay. You know, a check is an interesting play, too, because, you know, if you got this player that you really don't know what's going on, and then if you know, if he checks behind you, you get a free card for your flush.
Right.
Which helps you. I mean, all kinds of free cards that help you improve your hand.
Yep. I agree. That's why I think a check might be misleading. They might think I was making a stab at the pot with a draw earlier and trying to get the loose aggressive guy out. Now when the queen comes, they might think I'm afraid of the queen, make it look like I have sevens.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't mind a check there, and it might get me a free card since this other person's kind of tight and kind of predictable. So I don't know what Chris does, though. What does Chris do?
All right, well, he said he didn't want to bet too much because he thinks this bad player will call anything anyway. But he decides to put out a bet of 45.
That's a little... I mean, I said 50 or 60, I guess. So I guess that's a...
And he was hoping that if he's up against king-queen, he'd get raised here and get some information.
Yeah.
But sadly, the other player just calls.
Hmm.
Yeah, the mystery continues.
Not getting any information yet. It's very tough to put this person on a hand, given the information I have and the way the betting's gone.
Exactly.
But
exactly.
I'll stick with my... Maybe a suited A7 or something. I don't know. But I'm trying to play the hands in my mind. What could possibly keep this guy around? You know, maybe he has an ace of diamonds, seven of diamonds. You know, I don't know. Okay, well, it's weird. I don't know what to think of this, so.
All right, so the river pairs the four.
All right.
So we miss our flush, but the four
helps us.
Two pair and the queen on board.
Eliminates our five kicker.
Exactly.
So, I mean, if you're confident that your two pair is good, then you might... And you might want to bet for value, but you're really only going to get called or raised by a better hand. So I don't know. I might be happy to just check it down on win a couple hundred here.
Okay. He says he has 120 chips behind right now and didn't want to risk it all here. But if he bets and gets raised, he would probably have the odds to call. So he decides to risk it and put out a bet of 45.
Yeah, it's about a little at bit this point, if you're going to bet, the blinds are 10 and 20. You already only have four. How much did he have? 120?
120 behind now.
And so you bet 45, so you'd only have 80 left. You only have four big blinds left anyway. You can't play it this way. I had no idea their stacks were this small to start, Scott. I mean, there's no way to know. You know, if you got 120 and you only have 10 and 20 blinds left, you only have six big blinds left anyway. I might have played his hand totally differently knowing that if I only had $400 or $300, you know. I would just check here.
Yeah, you're right. With that many chips left, and...
I would have played this hand probably a little differently, but well, let's see what happens. What does the other person do?
All
wake
right,
up and
the
raise
other
now.
Player insta calls and rolls over, and we have no idea, right?
Well, if he insta called and then rolls over, I mean, God, maybe he has a better king than us. What else could he have unless it's a boat? If he had a boat, he wouldn't just insta call; he'd raise. So maybe a better king than us is all I can guess.
And you are correct.
It has to be a better king, right? Because otherwise, he'd bet more.
Ace king.
Ace king. See, that's weird.
Now, he said that he thought that this player was a better player paying attention to chip stacks. He should have raised because he knew that our hero probably would have called and got more chips out of him.
Yeah, you know what? The whole situation, if he had known, you know, what the chip starting stacks were, it might have been a different... I might have played it differently. And the other thing, too, is, you know, this guy didn't seem... That wasn't very predictable at all, you know, the way he played that hand. Predictable player who's tight usually would raise with ace-king, especially in early position. I mean, I guess he's a bad player because that... That wasn't very wise the way he played it. I mean, it paid off for him, but geez.
Well, I think it's a classic example. When people that don't play poker and they know what I do for a living now and they ask me whether I, you know, they oh, yeah, you love to play against bad players. And I tell them every time, I don't.
Yeah.
I really don't.
No.
You would think that you could make more money off bad players, but it's just so frustrating. It's actually easier to make money off of medium players.
Yeah, the mediocre
like us,
players.
You know?
Exactly.
And not like the pros, but the players that you can kind of put on some hands.
Yeah.
When you're playing against bad players, you have no idea what they have at any point.
Yeah, you know, in our home game, I'm hardly ever completely shocked when someone turns their hand over at showdown.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, but when you're playing something like this and that ace-king, that shocked me that it was ace-king. I thought a better king, like maybe king-jack suited or something. Maybe, because that's not really a raising hand. It's a rookie hand, really. It's not as good as it really is. But, wow, I was shocked. I mean, at the end, it had to be a better king the way he insta-called and didn't raise. Wow. Yeah, that's pretty shocking and not predictable at all. So I would revise that thinking of how that player plays.
Exactly. Well, Chris, thanks for sending the hand of the week, and be sure to ship us our address, and we'll get a great set of greatpokerhands.com cards out to you. And everybody else, send us your hand of the week to podcast@antiupmagazine.com, and you too could be dissected by Chris Great Poker Mind on a future show.
All right, well, I want to thank Dr. Frank Toscano and forgive him for going to Duke and for being on our show. And another good show, right, Scott?
Absolutely. They're all good these days.
That's right. We're pros. I'm Chris Cosenza.
And I'm Scott Long.
We'll see you at the table. Ante Up is a production of AnteUpMagazine.com and is recorded at WDAE 620 AM in Tampa. Contact us at podcast@anteupmagazine.com or call our hotline at 813-448-1120. If you'd like to advertise, send us an email at advertising@anteupmagazine.com or call 727-331-4335. Some music used in this episode comes courtesy of the PodSafe Music Network.